Well, this morning is a delight for so many reasons. Not only because I get the opportunity to stand and dedicate Ella Elizabeth with my friends, but because this morning you may not be able to tell, but there's a little tank right back here. It's like a jacuzzi without any jets, and we filled it up. And it's got warm, cozy water in it. And we are going to witness this morning the baptism of 8 different people. You may wonder, especially if you're a guest, if you're a family member and that kind of thing, why do churches do this kind of stuff? I mean, if you've grown up in Southern California, if you've grown up in American culture, then church has probably intersected with your life at one time or another. And you might wonder to yourself, why? Why do we do these kinds of things? Why is baptism significant? Why is a baby dedication significant? And I would direct you, and if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Open up to Luke chapter 2. Verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. By the way, if you don't have a copy of the Bible with you, we've got some there in the book racks right in front of you. You can grab one of those and open up to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. It says this about Jesus Christ. And when 8 days had passed, this is 8 days after the birth of Jesus, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is to seal up some of the details from earlier in the story, that an angel had come to Mary and Joseph and had told Joseph what to name his child, and that they should name the child Jesus. And verse 22 says, when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, this would have been important for Orthodox Jews, that they had gone through a period of purification after the birth, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This is from the book of Exodus, around chapter 3. And they were to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, which indicated that Mary and Joseph were dirt poor. That was the sacrifice of those that didn't have very much money. So what we get is just a little window into the life of Mary and Joseph. For those of you that are older and have got kids maybe that have even moved out of the house, do you remember when you were first married? Do you remember how you could exist on macaroni and cheese and top ramen? And you were just happy to be married. It was just great to be married. That's kind of the scene that we get from Mary and Joseph. They are young, they are married, and now here they have got Jesus, their firstborn son, and as according to the law, they brought him up to the temple to dedicate him. Now, there's a lot more to that backstory, but a lot of the wording that is used is similar to the wording that is used of a young man named Samuel in the Old Testament. Samuel was also dedicated to the Lord when he was a child by his mother. In fact, his mother made one of those promises. She promised the Lord that if the Lord would give her a child, she would dedicate that child exclusively to the Lord's service. And Samuel grew up to serve the Lord all of his days. And the Lord spoke to Samuel, and Samuel served under Eli and had an extraordinary life of serving the Lord. The wording that is used in Luke chapter 2 is similar to the same wording that is used of Samuel in the Old Testament. In fact, it's purposely done. It's purposely done to connect this idea of dedication and that Christian parents always dedicate their children to the Lord. This is the concept that is kind of being encouraged in the church. In the early church, it was popular for children to be dedicated to the Lord under these kinds of auspices. But have you ever wondered, why dedicate Jesus? I mean, Mary and Joseph knew enough, you know, miraculous birth. They'd been told by the angel who he was going to be, at least in part, that he was, you know, going to be a Messiah, that you were to name him Jesus. Jesus in Greek is the same as Joshua from the Old Testament, that he was going to be someone that was going to provide salvation for his people. They understood the prophecies. They had received them firsthand. Why then do you turn around and dedicate Jesus to God's service? Doesn't it seem odd that the one person that the Bible says that of Jesus, that he knew no sin, he was absolutely sinless in this life, isn't it odd that he himself experienced a dedication in the temple just like every other child? I find it even more extraordinary, as we can see in any one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that Jesus Christ, when he was a little bit older, went forward to a guy named John the Baptist, and he said, "I would like to be baptized." Now, John the Baptist was baptizing people so that they would be dedicated to repenting of their sin and anticipating the kingdom of God. That was the baptism of John the Baptist. Repenting of their sin and anticipating the kingdom of God. Why was Jesus baptized? Doesn't that strike you as being a little weird too? Like, of all the people that didn't need to be baptized in the history of mankind, who would be at the top of that list? It would be Jesus. He didn't need to repent of sin, and he was the coming of the kingdom of God. Like, in the flesh, is what the Bible tells us. And the baptism that New Testament Christians, or in other words, Christians that have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, these are all the people that have come to Jesus Christ after his death and resurrection. Everyone who is baptized in the New Testament is always baptized as a sign of what Jesus Christ has already done in their hearts. That he has saved them from sin, and that he has entered them into a brand new relationship with God the Father. In fact, baptism is symbolic. It's a dying to the old and being raised up to the new. It is a identification with Jesus Christ. He went down into the grave and he was resurrected and came back. That's what you are about to witness. Now, baptism itself doesn't do anything. You can go home and do this and it'll have the same effect. You can get in your bathtub, dunk down, come up, dunk down, come up. It'll do the same thing. It's not anything special because it's in the tank here. This tank is not sacred. It's not holy. It's not anything. It's just a tank. Most of your bathtubs are nicer, frankly. So what does this do? What it does is this. It's a public statement. It's a public statement to everyone that the people that are being baptized are identifying their lives with Jesus Christ. They're identifying their lives with Jesus Christ. They are dying to sin. They're being raised up to eternal life with the Savior. And what you observe is simply symbolic. What is true is what has already happened in their hearts. That's why at Long Beach Alliance Church we practice a believer's baptism. We believe that every person that gets baptized has to be able to actually articulate, has to be able to say, "This is what Jesus Christ has done in my life." And you're going to hear that this morning. You're going to hear people talk about what Jesus Christ has done in their lives. And so I want you to lean into that. I want you to hear that. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is not just a concept. He's not just an idea. He's not just some ancient teacher that was alive thousands of years ago. He is absolutely alive in the lives of the people that you will hear from this morning. Jesus Christ has transformed their lives. They have died to the old and they are raised up with the new. And today we get to see a symbol of that in baptism. But it still kind of itches in your conscience. Why did Jesus do it? Why did Jesus Christ get baptized? He didn't have anything to die to. And he certainly wasn't being raised up for any See, he was sinless. The Bible says it really clearly that he knew no sin. So why did Jesus Christ get baptized? I think it's profound as we observe this morning, as we observe a baby dedication, and we think Mary and Joseph are like Josh and Megan, bringing their little baby to the Lord to dedicate him. I think it's significant as we see Pastor Rob is about to do some baptisms, and as we see those baptisms begin, that you can actually picture Jesus Christ stepping down into the water of the Jordan River, and John the Baptist and he talking to one another, and him turning Jesus Christ and baptizing him down into the water. I think it's significant that the life that Jesus Christ lived was twofold. It was lived as an example to us of how we could live if we had a right relationship with God. And much of what you and I do as believers, for those of us that have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, much of what we do is looking at the life of Jesus Christ, seeing what he did, seeing how he thought, seeing how he felt, and asking God to do the same kinds of things in us. That we would live motivated by the Holy Spirit. That we would live motivated by the things of the kingdom of God. That we would live as Jesus lived. That he would be alive inside of me. And that my life would count for the kingdom of God. But I think that there's another way that you can look at Jesus Christ's life. And that's this. That everything he did was to bring his divinity. In other words, the fact that he was God, the fact that he was this sacrifice for sin, the fact that he was the only one that could accomplish what he accomplished, the fact that he didn't know sin, that he was sent by his Father, all these unique things about who he was. He took all of that and he brought it down to our level. And so the things that you see him do are meant to identify with us. It says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ can understand us, that he can sympathize with our weaknesses, that he understands our temptations, that he gets what it's like to have to live in this life. He gets how hard it is, what a struggle it is. He understands all of these things. And he does because he's lived it before us. He had a mom and a dad that dedicated him in obedience in the temple. He went and was baptized because he was identifying with us. He didn't just want to show us what to do. He wanted to identify. He wanted to be able to say, I did that too. I identify with you. And you are identifying with me when you follow that. When you do these things, you are identifying your life with mine. Jesus Christ taught that we are supposed to abide in him. And that he would abide in us. And that's total identification. Abiding in someone else and them in you is total identification. Our church, I talk about it as a family all the time because I believe it's like a living organism, just like your families are at home. Sometimes that organism's doing well. Sometimes that organism isn't doing well. We're the same way here as a church. This morning is one of those awesome moments where I believe the family's doing well. Because what you're witnessing are not only individuals, but a whole church that desires to abide in him and he in us. And what you witness in a baby dedication, what you're about to witness in these baptisms, I mean, it could be as simple as just a bunch of water sloshing over somebody's head. And it's as profound as Jesus Christ taking hold of a life that is destined for destruction. And he has saved it. And he has plucked it. And now that person is standing up and saying, in the same way that Jesus Christ identified with me, I am going to identify with him. And this morning what you will witness are people standing up publicly and saying, some of them for the very first time, that their lives belong to Jesus Christ. as you hear their stories, as you hear their testimonies, I don't want you to become distracted by the different circumstances. You know what I want you to hear this morning? Jesus. Jesus is at work. He is alive. And He is alive in the midst of this family as we abide in Him and He in us. Would you give your full attention now to Pastor Rob? He's going to begin our morning as we head into baptism.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody here?
My name's Nick Rand. I'm 13, 8th grade.
Great. And Nick, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about how and when you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior?
When I was 4 years old in kindergarten, I went to a public Christian school, and my mom, we were driving home from school one day, and I asked my mom how to become a Christian, and so she got all excited, and she helped me say the prayer, and she led me to Christ that day.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And tell us, why is it that you want to be baptized today?
Mainly because I've been a Christian since I was four. I feel that since then I've kind of been drawing away from Christ. And so I want to, one, show everyone in the church that I'm a Christian and publicly announce it. And two, just draw myself closer back to Christ.
Excellent. That is excellent. Well, Nick, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Well, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's just a tad bit warm in here. Go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone.
My name is Tyler Rand. I'm 9 years old, and I'm in the fourth grade.
Great. And Tyler, why don't you tell everybody here how and when you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
When I was in first grade in Sparks here, Mr. Tom Garrell, he was teaching us about Jesus and, like how to become a Christian. And he made a prayer for all of us, and I accepted Christ into my heart right then.
That's fantastic. And why don't you tell everybody, why is it that you want to be baptized today?
I want to be baptized to show everyone that I'm a follower of Christ, and I want to obey God's law, because it says to get baptized in the Bible.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Tyler. Who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Excellent. Well, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you introduce yourself to everyone?
Monica Slade, and I'm a sophomore at LoSoft.
Excellent. And Monica, why don't you share with everyone how and when you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
I accepted Jesus into my heart when I was 6 years old. In Awana, I was learning about other kids accepting God and how happy they were. So that day I prayed with my mom and accepted God into my heart.
Excellent. And why is it that you would like to be baptized today?
At Hume Lake this summer, I realized how much I needed God. I want to get baptized today so I can tell everyone I am a Christian and I want to follow God the rest of my life.
Excellent. That is great. Well, Monica, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Well, Monica, it's my privilege and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
often in our culture, words like awesome and amazing are really overused. I mean, people talk about things that are on their little cell phone and say, oh, that's awesome, that's awesome. Yeah, let's get together and do that. But there is one thing that's awesome, and the power of the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song that's called Amazing Grace, and it's a bit of a new tune, and it's the same words.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious here that grace appeared, the hour I first believed. Amazing grace, amazing God, by the riches of your mercy, now we lift our mouths in praise. Amazing grace, grace that saves. We are standing here forgiven in the gift that you have given, in the power of your precious, precious. We've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We're no less days to sing God's grace than when we
yourself.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jim Wilkins, and I've been attending this church on a regular basis for about, well, 5-6 months since March, on and off for a couple of years. Many of you don't know me. I'm here to share with you what God has done in my life. My wife and some of her relatives are here, my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law. And I just want to share that before this service today, all three of our pastors said that we could take our time, that this was the service that we were to share about what God's done in our life. And I might not have this opportunity again. So I have you all gathered here together to tell you not what I have done, but what God has done in my life. And I'm going to start by saying this. We all have two dates in our life that we have no control over. When we're born and when we die. What's between, we have control of. Now, I have had, in my 64 years, I have had two spiritual experiences. And I'm going to tell you about both of them. They were separated by 42 years. I'm going to tell you about the first one that happened last year on July 3rd of 2006. I weighed 325 pounds, 100 pounds more than I weigh right now. I smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. My cholesterol and blood pressure was off the charts. And I had a massive stroke July 3rd of 2006. And it was the thing that I feared the most. I was aware that John F. Kennedy's father, who had all the money in the world, that he had a stroke in 1961 in a golf course, and that he spent the last 9 years of his life in a wheelchair, a prisoner in his own body. And of all the things that I could imagine dying, that was the worst fear that I had. And so that which I feared the most came upon me. I had this massive stroke. And I cried out to God, and He delivered me. I'm going to share that part with you in a few moments about how He dealt with my life. But first of all, let me just tell you what the physical blessings were. In a year's time, I was in three hospitals. I was in a convalescent home for 2 months. I was in a wheelchair. Then I was brought home. My wife, Debbie, in the front row there, had to hire a lady to take care of me. I couldn't hold things. I couldn't write my name. I was paralyzed. And God delivered me from those hospitals, from the rest home, from the wheelchair, from a walker, and from a cane, so that now I can walk on my own. And that's a wonderful thing. But the real thing that God did was change me inside. But let me go back 42 years ago. I'm not taking too much time, am I?
Okay.
42 years ago, 1965, 2 years before this man was born, I was 22 years old. I went to a crusade, Jimmy Johnson. I was convicted of my sin. I went forward. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I was like changed. I got to read the Bible. I memorized great amounts of scripture, which I still have in my heart. I went to Biola College for about a year and a half, Bible school. I preached every Sunday at the Georgia Street Jail, which is no longer in Los Angeles, but I'd preach to the prisoners behind jail bars. Once a month, I would preach at the Union Rescue Mission. And occasionally, different churches would invite me to give a message on the Sunday evening service at 6:30, sometimes to 400 or 500 people. But there was something that always bothered me, and it was the verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And while I was better than I was before, I just in my heart, I knew, you know, it's not really 24/7. It's like Pastor said one time, sometimes we just come to get our Sunday Big Mac, our spiritual Big Mac for an hour and a half in church, and then it's back to our world. But I have come to the conclusion that I don't really think that I was saved in 1965. It doesn't matter because I am now. Okay? But my point is that I want to make is this. That I was not a new person inside. But when God delivered me from this stroke, I found out what that verse means, that I am a new person in Christ, that He has given me the new birth, what He said about the new birth to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, shall not see the kingdom of God. And now I know, and it's amazing because I know who I am in the flesh. And if you knew, it's amazing, but I tell you the truth. Every morning I wake up, God is the first thing that I'm thinking about. Throughout the day, I'm quoting scriptures that I've memorized, which is God talking to me and talking to Him. Everything I see, everything I touch, every place I walk, I put a biblical perspective upon it. And I come to realize that what I feared the most, and this is my message to you as I close, what I feared the most should not have been that I had a stroke. It should have been that verse in the 7th chapter of Matthew where Jesus was talking to a group of people and Jesus Himself said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many of the people said, but Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and teach in your name? They went on to say, but Jesus, did we not cast out demons in your name? They went on to say, did we not do many wonderful works in your name? And you know what the Bible says that Jesus says to them? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Satan is a deceiver. You could be sitting in a church and be here for 20 years and give all your money and know the talk and walk the walk. But eternity is the turning point. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And I thank God that He gave me that stroke, because now I know that Christ lives in me. Because before, it was just I wanted to escape the punishment of my sin. But now He has written His law in my heart and in my mind. And it's precious. And I think of the song, Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And that great song, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may come in. Thank you for listening. My pastor, I'm ready.
All right.
Who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
My Lord Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, Jim, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yourself to everybody.
My name's Alinda, and I've been at the church for about a year and a half with my three daughters, Stephanie, Samantha, and Alexis.
Good. Tell us why you're here this morning, Alinda.
About a year and a half ago, I was at a point that I didn't think that I would ever be. I was a single mother of three girls. I had just gotten out of a really rough relationship, and I was feeling broken. It wasn't my plan in life. It wasn't my dream. and I was angry. My girlfriend Liz brought me to this church. And from the minute I walked in this church, I felt love. I felt God. I knew I wasn't alone. And I knew that He didn't leave me. It wasn't my plan, but I trust God now, and He has a plan for me. So, with the help of many new friends that He has introduced in my life, I am learning every day to be blessed with the gift that He has given me, my three very beautiful and unique girls. And I thank God for them in my life every day.
Melinda, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Introduce yourself.
My name is Casey Rouse.
And Casey, why are you here this morning?
Well, fortunately, I was raised in a Christian home as well as here at Long Beach Alliance Church. However, at least in my case, this also means that I can't really remember when or where I first accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That was always something that kind of bugged me, especially since I didn't have that, like, extravagant testimony that brings people to tears. But what I've come to realize is that my whole life has been a testimony of faith in itself. And if someone were to ask me what Jesus Christ has done in my life, I wouldn't know where to begin. Walking with Him and reflecting on Him and handing Him complete control over my life, it has just been amazing. And it's something that I, for one, will always struggle with. Even this past weekend, I found myself conflicting with God on where I want to be in life, what I want in life, and trying to hold on to what little control I thought I had. But because God remained faithful and true to me, He broke my heart. I find that with each challenge in life, He only draws me closer to Him by His grace. And so the fact is that I'm a sinner. I will always be a sinner. But for some reason, He chose me to shine His light in my life, pursuing me, refining me, and using me for His glory, blessing me with a church body that has helped raise me from that bratty little kid to who I am today. An incredible family who loves me and cares for me and challenges me daily. And for amazing friends who just encourage me, and they'll never know how much I cherish their friendship. And so baptism is what the Lord calls us to do. And so out of obedience, I'm here to publicly declare that my life is in His hands and He has complete control over me.
Amen. Casey, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tell everybody your name.
My name is Christine Douglas. I'm 17, and I'm a senior in high school.
And Christine, tell us why you're here this morning.
I, like Casey, have grown up in a Christian home, and I've always been, I've always, like, loved Jesus Christ, and I've always felt that I was a Christian. But since I was so young when I accepted Jesus Christ, I never really had a turning point. And about early high school, I started bringing my relationship with God upon myself and really striving to be godlike and just let Him work in my life and show whatever He wants or do whatever He wants to do in my life. And I always wanted to be baptized, but I kind of felt like it was too late because I never had a turning point where I would end up like deciding to live with Jesus Christ and be baptized. But last week when Chris was talking about it, how he's going to have a baptismal service, I felt called really strongly to get baptized. And so I came and talked to him afterward, and I decided to. And I think it's probably the best decision I've ever made.
Interesting. Christine, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Tracy Harrison. I am 31, and I have been attending Long Beach Alliance. Well, I've been hovering the pews for about 6 months, but probably 4 months faithfully I've been here at Long Beach Alliance, and I thank you guys because it's just so warm and loving here.
Fantastic. Tracy, go ahead and tell us why you are here this morning.
I'm not going to break down. I promised myself that. I'm here because I want to commit, I want to actually take the next step in commitment to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I'm so thankful for Him showing Himself in my life. This is going to be really hard for me because I'm going to use a lot of I statements, and this has absolutely nothing to do with me, and it has everything to do with Him. I'll try to keep this simple as possible. When I was about 6 or 7, my parents sent me to a summer church camp, and I asked God to come into my heart. And when I did that, I was beaming. I was so happy to find out that God loved me so much, despite all the flaws that I did have. This was huge. So as a 6-year-old, you know, I was good to go. I had Christ in my life, and just as my life progressed, I began to get very lost in religion or faith, really. Was reinforced anywhere. And I actually ended up being a science major in college. And it really taught me, unfortunately, the tangibility of fact rather than having love and faith and trust in God, which is huge. I actually thank God that He took me through that journey and that path because, you know, that's how ultimately I was able to find Him. I think it was about 6 years ago when I met this woman who's out there. You know who you are. She's sitting here with us today. And when I met her, there was just something so special about her. Not special in a goofy sort of way, although that's how I met her. We used to walk to the bank and kind of goof around. And I had no idea at the time why God had placed her in my life. And Yvonne, I love you. You are my absolute best friend and my sister in Christ. And I appreciate how slowly you opened the door to me because my heart was so hard and was so closed. And another thing happened about the same time that made me start to really kind of conceptualize the notion of God and Christianity. That's when the love of my life came back to me. We were reunited, and he is also my best friend, Ryan. I love you, and you've been a blessing in my life. And another blessing that God gave me was I married into this selfless, unconditional family that just exudes love. And my mom's actually here today, which is something that is huge. God is just so good. And it took me something huge to get here. But I finally realized that I needed to stop being my own God. And, which is easy to do. And if I had to go through what I went through to get here all over again, I would do it in a heartbeat. Just to have the Holy Spirit living inside me, because I know it. I know the Lord is with me now. I am ready and willing for God, for the Lord to use me however he deems necessary. And I am so prepared, and I'm so excited for what he's about to, I don't know, however he's going to use me, I'm ready for it. And so God, I'm yours, mind, body, and spirit, and I thank you. I've only been a Christian for 3 months, but what he has revealed to me in those 3 months is absolutely phenomenal and life-changing. So to answer your question, why am I here today? I'm here to shed my old life and to be reborn in Christ.
Tracy, who have you put your faith and trust in for eternal life?
Jesus Christ.
Because of this confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Been a powerful morning this morning. Let's give a rousing applause to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is it is so amazing to see how God has worked in so many people's lives, and not only the people here in the tank this morning, but all of us together have such powerful testimonies of what God has done in our lives and how He has changed us. A few years back when I was in college at Biola University, I had an opportunity to go to Israel on a study program for 3 weeks. And while I was there, one of the places that we got to go was to the Jordan River, to the spot where they say that Jesus was baptized. But as I was there, it was probably one of the most powerful and profound moments in my life, because as we got to the river, you know, and the whole time growing up as a young boy, you know, you hear the stories in Scripture and you read about it and you try to think about what it would be like. But to actually go there and to see that river where Jesus was baptized for me was just overwhelming. And when we got there, our teacher gave everybody that was on the trip a moment to just kind of sit by the shore and to take about 20 minutes to reflect on what Christ had done and modeled for us, to reflect on what He had done in our lives. And I remember that as I sat there, being so overwhelmed, you know, all of a sudden this thing that had been a story in a book for so many years was so alive. Even more, what came alive to me was the importance of my baptism. The importance of when I stood up here in this tank here, when I was a young child, and professed my faith to the congregation. It's such an important moment because it is a commitment that we make, saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am living for Christ. And, you know, one of the fears that I have is that so often it'd be easy to go up into a tank like that and to be baptized and allow it to be kind of a ritual. Allow it to kind of be just, you know, what you do as a Christian. It's one of those steps that you take. But it was so impressed on my heart as I sat there by the Jordan to think about how important that moment in my life was, where I stood up and said, I am a follower of Christ. And each of us are called to do the same thing. And it just, it's incredible. As I sit here and I watch these people get baptized, you know, I promised myself that day, that every time I would go to another baptism, that not only would I celebrate what God was doing, but I would remind myself and remember what God has done inside of my life. And, you know, this morning as we witness these baptisms, not only is it a special time for the people being baptized, but it is a special time for us as the body of Christ. And I think that's for a twofold reason. I really believe that it's important for each of us to realize that as these people stand before us and are baptized and make a public proclamation of their faith, that they also say to you, I'm a part of this body of Christ. Please hold me accountable. Please encourage me. Please help me to grow in my relationship with the Lord. You know, so many years ago when I was baptized here, I'm not sure that I would have made it as a pastor or even grown in my faith had it not been for the people that sat out here and witnessed it and said, today I commit myself to discipling that young man and to encouraging him in his faith. And we have that same awesome responsibility this morning. As we see these people being baptized, we get to be alive and share the testimony of what God has done in our lives, share it with them, and to continue to encourage them and to help them to grow in their relationship as well. And yet it's not only a challenge for them, for us to help them to grow. But as we look at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, it says this, it says, therefore go, and this is Jesus' commands to his disciples and his commands to us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You know, it's been said, you could read through the entire book of Matthew, understand everything that's going on, but if you miss those last few precious verses in the book of Matthew, if you don't grasp how important they are, then the rest of the book is meaningless. Because all of it points to God's call for us as believers to take what He's done in our lives, to take our testimonies, and to share them with a world that will perish without Him. My challenge for you this morning is that you would remember your own relationship with God, the specialness, the importance of that commitment that you have made. But to remember God's call in your life to then go with that testimony. Don't keep it to yourself, but take it to a world that needs to hear it. I challenge you this morning. Take your testimonies. Share them with your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, and your family. And allow Christ living inside of you affect each and every one of their lives. We're going to have an opportunity in the weeks to come. We're going to be having a Thanksgiving Eve service in which we're going to give opportunity for people to share their testimonies. And we're going to be videotaping those and putting together a really great montage for that evening of sharing our testimonies. You'll see in your worship guides this morning that there's an announcement about that. I'd encourage you, if God has done something great in your life, use that opportunity to worship and to glorify God and to let other people know what God is doing in your life. And lastly, I want to say that if anybody here this morning has witnessed what's going on from our baby dedication with baby Ella, where we have committed ourselves to helping her to grow in her faith, to learn more about Christ, as we commit ourselves to encouraging and helping the people that were baptized to grow, as we remember all of these things, if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, I'd encourage you to really think about the impact that God has had in the lives of these people that you have witnessed this morning, and to consider what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. Thank you.